How's it going? This is Scott Fish. I co-host a podcast called the Commission Impossible Podcast with Ryan McDowell. We don't exactly go over player values or dynasty trades or potential or rankings or mock drafts, and we usually don't even have guests. We just like to talk about commissioner stuff, so that's what you get. You can learn about lots of different scoring systems, interesting rules, settings, how to set up your playoffs, how to determine draft order, how to determine rookie auction values, things like that. Stuff that commissioners might be interested in, like rivalries or rolling bankrolls or salary caps. We also answer commissioner questions. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, check us out. It's a pretty good listen.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. It's what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win if I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict. I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm laying. I'm an addict. Russ and Brian are the names. Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Zach Reed, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Justin Rogers, and I have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to session 131 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. Also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will, and we will. And how nice was it that this is like the third or fourth time Zach's been on the show, and this is probably the first time where he didn't say he had a trading problem, and his problem is that he's bad at it. So look at that. Zach listens to our show, and it only took like 2.5 years, but he's finally not bad at trading anymore. There you go. I mean, press set. 2.5 years of listening to the Trade Addicts Pod, and you won't be bad at trading anymore.
I can be taught. I can be taught. And if I can be taught, anybody can be.
Now I just need to teach you to give me my first back in Olympians, because that I don't know how I gave that to you in the first place.
Ugh. Must be a pretty good first.
Oh yeah, no, my team is god awful. I am in last place, and it is not close. And
it's going to be a top two, yeah,
easily. And I have no idea why the hell before the season started I traded. I had other firsts. I don't know why the hell I gave away mine.
But you gave it to somebody else, and then I got it for Derek Carr.
Hmm. Wow, that makes it even better. You getting what is you're going to get Trevor Lawrence for Derek Carr.
It was delicious. Yes. And the best thing is about this entire is there's a chance that I win the league. Like, I've been the high scorer in 4 out of 7 weeks with zero RBs, like no running backs that you would want. And it just feels
Eric,
good.
I'd be offering Russ like every like third and fourth rounder for any decent player he has, just to make sure that pick is good.
Like, I'm not dumb. I know that I will give up so much to get that first back. And the thing is, I have a lot of players I know he likes. Like, I have Jarvis Landry and Paris Campbell, and I'm like, yeah, and he just like doesn't even give me the time of day. He'll just reject and then nothing.
I
and
I'm like,
let me help you win. And he literally just goes, I don't need your help to win.
I wouldn't be giving that first back. I'd just be trying to take any decent player you had. Please, you ain't getting that first back if I got it.
It's not going to stop me. I know I'm not, but it's not going to stop me from trying. And eventually, I'm going to pay way too much for it.
It's who wears down first, Russ. That's what it is. It's a game of attrition now.
It's not even that. It's Brian Hard learned this a long time ago. Just do exactly what you're doing, and I will keep raising my price. It's okay. How about this? No? Okay. What if I had three firsts? Okay. Just please give it to me. It's the same thing when I tried to get DK Metcalf from everyone before the season. Like, I just started getting larger and larger and larger, and eventually got a lot of them, and that worked out nice. So
even if you overpaid in the preseason, you probably ended up pretty you know, in pretty good shape now.
Yeah, and the one person I couldn't buy him from, Matt Price, who now has him as his wide receiver one. So I feel okay that the one person I really couldn't get him from is a little insane in the first place.
Yeah. He might not be insane, though. Crazy enough. I'm not a DK 101 guy, but
well, not 101, but like wide receiver one. Or wide receiver, like, Devontae Adams at least easily over DK Metcalf, and you know I'm a freaking Seahawks fan, and I still say that.
Yeah, you guys. If we can ever see the volume, then we might have it. But if you're catching four or five balls a game, you know, even if they're playing,
if they're playing any other team but the Cardinals last night, and Russell Wilson had to throw the ball as many times as he did, I had no idea that Patrick Peterson has shut down DK Metcalf every single time they've played.
Yeah.
I didn't know that until they said it on the show.
That game. And that Tyler Lockett guy, he's still pretty good.
He's like, you know, the guy across from Darrell Revis always got a lot of looks, so he always gets a lot of interceptions because no one's going to throw at Revis. That's the same thing. Like, you're across DK Metcalf. Of course, you're going to get the weak coverage, and it's just going to look.
He was making some catches last night that were
God, it was disgusting.
Like, that one catch early in the game where he had the defender draped all over him, and he just scooped it with his left hand falling down. That was a sick catch.
Yes, and we are speaking of that game. I have a feeling that words are going to fail me very quickly because I'm freaking exhausted from staying up and watching the ends of that game and then tilting so damn hard at the end that I couldn't fall asleep for like an hour and a half afterwards. And East Coast means I didn't get to sleep till like 2 a.m. and then my alarm goes off at 6. Yeah, so today has not been great. Today has been very coffee filled. But let's move on. Let's actually talk about this week's worth of football and not the Seahawks game because that hurts my. Okay, no, let's get the Seahawks game out of the way because we're talking about news, which means we're talking about injuries. And Chris Carson will have absolutely no idea what is actually wrong with him. He's week to week, which sucks.
He's got a strain in his midfoot. So you kind of I feel like this is something near and dear to your heart, kind of like the player Fisher. Yeah.
We're foot tendon brothers. Yay. I'm going to go DM him, let him know. Yeah, week to week. What I was saying last week was if it is something like that, they could just shoot him up and let him go because it might be just a pain tolerance thing, in which case they have very good drugs in the NFL, I'm sure.
Yeah, Toradol is nice. I've heard.
Right.
Oh, that I unfortunately know for very different reasons. And Travis Homer got hurt also. So it is Carlos Hyde and DJ Dallas season. It was nice to see the amount of receptions DJ Dallas was getting. So are you making moves for any of these other running backs? Like Carlos Hyde didn't look bad. I don't know if it was just the Arizona defense being not good, but Carlos Hyde still, like, are you going to go throw seconds around for Hyde, thirds around for Dallas, Zach?
I have a confession that Carlos Hyde is on a lot of the back end of my rosters.
Yeah, I have a bunch too.
Just when he landed with the Seahawks and the kind of MO of Pete Carroll with running backs is if the guy in front is hurt, the next guy is going to play and he's going to play for until the wheels fall off. And Carlos Hyde was not awful last year in Houston, and so
yards is 1,000 yards. It doesn't matter how you look when you get it.
So I don't mind, and you know me with later picks, like I don't care about them, especially right now. Mm-hmm. And so I don't mind going after Carlos Hyde. DJ Dallas, the pass catching is nice, but I still have a hard time believing in him. I didn't love him coming out, and it's, I don't know. It's one of my mental hangups. Sometimes I get stuck on an evaluation of a guy, and I'm like, I don't really want to.
Yeah, but also one of the three times Arizona actually blitzed, DJ Dallas like literally was looking the wrong way and he went right behind him and sacked Russell Wilson. So I kind of hate him right now. What about you, Justin? How do you feel about the Seattle backfield at this point?
Well, I'm like Eric. Hyde was one of my targets during the offseason. I've got him in SFB. I picked him up in a couple leagues. Both startups I did this year, I grabbed Hyde. Like, you know, I thought he was a good target because, well, we might have seen Chris Carson be hurt every once in a while. Like, I think he's missed a game or two in his career. So,
I'd have to do some research to find out.
And then I like DJ Dallas as well, although I never did like his pass pro
but I thought he would be more involved in the pass game earlier in the season, so it was nice to see him get some action. But I think Hyde is still the back I'd try to buy.
Or if maybe you throw a second for Carson at this point.
If it's a late second, if I'm a contender, then sure, you know. But if I'm that fringe team that's trying to make the playoffs, I'm not bothering to try and get Carlos Hyde because he's not going to be the difference maker through the season. He's going to be a 2-3 week guy.
Try and find that person that's pissed off that Carson got hurt again and try and see if he can get Carson for a second. I like that idea. I think I'm going to try and do that now.
Yeah, that would be solid. Okay, I don't know that any Carson owner has that or would do that simply because the people that own Chris Carson at this point are believers.
Yeah, that's a very good point, but it's always worth a shot, right? Let's move on because I'm tired of talking about the Seahawks right now because it just makes me sad. So Andy Dalton got decapitated in Dallas, and
he's nearly headless.
Nearly headless. Sorry.
That was my tweet that I said, who's going to teach defense against the dark arts in Dallas in week 8? Like, that position is not a position I want to be in.
And what is Ben DiNucci? Is that
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what? That does not sound like a football player. So hopefully Dalton, because he's in concussion protocol, but not ruled out. Apparently this is his first concussion, which, like, I don't know where I saw that.
32-year-old quarterback or whatever.
Yeah. Right? Like, that's weirdly impressive, which is kind of a sad comment on NFL and mental health and all of that, but that's not really the point. But yeah, that offense was a little rough afterwards. But
wait, hold on. Time out, Russ. It was a little rough before.
But it got rougher afterwards. Like, so, yeah, like, I might be out on the Dallas offense for competing teams at this point. Like, I have Zeke where I might try and move him cheaply for a guy that's scoring more points right now.
I think I said last week it was something like congrats to everyone who had Andy Dalton and sold him. Yes. Like, after that first game. Because he's not Dak Prescott, and that offense is not the same at all. So I'd be so happy if I had sold him. I'm out on that offense completely. I got offered Michael Gallup in a trade earlier today for Brandon Ayuk, and I was like, I don't think so. I think I'll just hold Ayuk.
Like, yeah, at that point. Unless maybe, like, go buy CD Lamb, I guess. If someone's, like, angry, like, if CD is on a competing team and they're angry, maybe go buy, because next year Dak's coming back most likely. I know it's going to be weird, but I think at this point we know it's not going to be Andy Dalton next year. So they're either going to get Dak Prescott, give him money, or find a way to get Trevor Lawrence or something like that. So I think that's one move I would absolutely do is go buy CeeDee Lamb if a competing team is angry that he's not going to score points and they're more impatient than I am.
I was going to say it's a timing thing because I don't think like 1 week of CeeDee Lamb putting up 0.1 points is not going to do it. But if you get somebody after like 2 or 3 after he's been a top 10, you might be able to, you know, to make a move there.
Okay, let's keep moving on because we can't. There's no reason to talk about the Dallas offense for this long. All I wrote down was Juju is alive, which is nice to see. Deontay Johnson got, I think, an ankle injury again. At least he scored 2 touchdowns before it happened. But yeah, Juju had what, like 9 targets or 9 catches? I can't remember anymore, but it was some nice number. It was good to see. Do we believe in the resurrection of Juju Smith-Schuster?
If Deontay Johnson is playing and playing well, yes. I don't know how far you've gotten on the you said you were listening to the dummies this week, and one of the things I talked about was that type of player.
Oh, no, I'm still in 2017. I just got to 2018 because of pickup punches.
So I talk about the type of player that, I mean, it was funny because Justin mentioned something about Tyler Lockett, kind of in jest, but it's that type of player who, if you get somebody who is on the outside who can stretch the field and take a defender and roll a defender away from that number two who's really talented enough to be a number one, then he's going to eat. I mean, you saw what Juju did with Antonio Brown on the outside. You've seen, I mean, it's the Ridley corollary with Julio Jones. It's, you know, when Mike Evans was going great and Chris Godwin, it's that number two who's really a 1B.
Yeah.
And I think that Juju fits that role better than he does the alpha. Yeah, and so if he's got somebody on the outside who is able to take the top off, I think Juju eats underneath. He eats out of the slot. And so, yes, like I probably against my better judgment, but I traded DeAndre Hopkins to get Juju in a first this week.
That's not, man, that's a lie. I have no idea how to value Juju, but for how I actually do, that's still a good trade. Well, the dude's 21 years old. We've seen him have a top 10, I believe it was top 10, right? Or yeah. Top 12 at least season.
Yeah, he was top 10.
If we're upset with the situation, it seems like he's going somewhere else next year. And it'll be it's not like he's getting traded, most likely. It'd be weird for them to trade him when they're undefeated at this point. So, like, he's going to get to choose where to go. So we have to assume he's not going to go to a shitty place unless he just wants some money, which with the endorsement deals that guy has, I can't imagine he would be that silly about it.
I think he'd still like to play for somebody who is actually going to throw the ball. So one thing to note is that, you know, Roethlisberger's volume this year is so down. His yards per game is 241. It's the lowest of his career since 2008. Like he just back in the game manager days.
Well, so, you know, it's weird. It's like you actually want to protect your 38-year-old just had elbow surgery quarterback.
Shocking. But you think that a lot of those, because they are getting rid of the ball quick, that Juju would be getting more targets. Now, he's still leading the team in targets. They're just only, you know, 2 yards downfield or whatever, which is kind of the product of Big Ben having a bum elbow.
All right, so Juju's bad after the catch. Got it. That's what Justin's saying right there. I get it.
Ouch. Man, I love Juju.
I know. I just like making fun of Steelers when Brian isn't here to stand up for him. So I'm going to take every opportunity.
Right now, if Brian were watching, he would be yelling at the screen. So
yeah, that's pretty much my goal. If he ever does actually listen to this, that he will start to lose his voice from screaming.
Yeah.
So let's go to something that Brian doesn't necessarily care about. Odell Beckham tore his ACL. How many players, offensive players, get hurt tackling after an interception? I feel like it's a lot.
I do
but
too.
But also, this specific play, like he tried to do like a flying reverse suplex on whoever the hell intercepted that ball. I have no idea what he was trying to do, and then got himself wedged in between two people and his leg bent the wrong way. It was so weird. But that sucks. And then all of a sudden, the offense looked good.
Of all the people to not try and tackle somebody, it should have been Juju. I mean, it should have been Odell.
Right.
Like, Odell should have just been like, you know what? I'm not a defensive player, and I get hurt a bit. I'm just going to let this one go, man. It ain't – nope. I'm going to go all WWE on this and see what
happens. Tried. And I mean, it sort of worked. He tackled the guy, but
right, he made the,
at what cost? At what cost?
But he's no DK Metcalf out there.
Oh, I see that. I still see DK Metcalf chasing down Buda Baker when I close my eyes. Like that's how beautiful that was. It's scorched into the back of my retinas. Okay, but real quick, Mountaintop Scouting at MT Scouting is curious about the market value for Odell Beckham post injury. Let's ask a more important question. What, Zach, did you think his value was before the injury?
I was going to say before the injury, I've been shopping him I've got him on three or four teams and have been trying to shop him and not finding any takers. And it was one of those where his value was low enough. So I'm just like, well, I'll hang on to him because the production I potentially can get from him. I mean, he does have a 73-yard rushing game this year. So it's the multifaceted weapon that is Odell Beckham. But yeah, like it was bad before and it's going to be worse. I think the only thing you can do is hope that eventually people forget about how poorly he's played outside of like a game and a half this last 2 years and hope they remember the name and eventually you can make that trade later, but it's not, I mean.
All right. So you have Odell Beckham on your teams right now. He's injured and someone sends you what looks like is going to be a mid first. Would you take it?
Yes.
I would have taken that before.
Yes.
Yeah. I would have taken that a week ago, you know?
Really? Okay. Yeah. Maybe it is nostalgia. Maybe it is just, I mean, last year he was good. He wasn't great, but
Right.
He was 1,000 yards and like 3 or 4 touchdowns with a hernia. So, and I believe in Baker. I understand that they played the Bengals, which is a get right game for just about anyone, but still, like, maybe he's not going to throw five touchdowns every game, but he still looked good. That offense, sadly, after Odell went out, looked good. But I still believed in Odell a little bit, but I think I'm with you. I only have, man, like a year and a half ago, Odell was my most owned player. And now I think I may own one share, maybe two.
I was in the same boat with you, Russ. I had him in like 75% of my leagues, and I sold my last share, that and a third, for Julio and Tyler Higbee before the season.
That's really good.
Or after week one or something like that. I mean,
especially when Higbee still had the hype price.
Yeah, and I was really just going for Julio because, of course, I'm a Falcons fan, and I was a contender. I figured I was going to get more points out of Julio. So,
well, and I'm not wrong
about that.
Yeah, so I think that's – if you can get a first for OBJ, we're pretty much done. Is that what it's the sadly down to?
Any first.
Any first. And this year, at least, it's a good wide receiver year, so you could feel like you're replacing. Like, if you walk away Jamar Chase or Rondell Moore, like, you're still feeling pretty good about giving up Odell Beckham for that.
Yeah, if you're giving – at this point, if you're getting a mid-first, you know, you got two or three quarterbacks in front of you, you got the two running backs, you're going to get Chase, Waddle, Devontae Smith – more, you know, Bateman, somewhere in that range. Yeah. Any of those guys is going to be a good buy, you know.
That's interesting.
It's a loaded receiver class. So
yeah.
All right, so let's talk about it.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to move on because we always end up spending so much time talking about injuries and stuff like that that we don't actually get to, like, you know, the trade addicts trades, which is, you know, what the show is pretty much named. Jalen Reagor is coming off of the IR, which I am thrilled about. And for many reasons, because I'm a Jalen Reagor fan, I have many shares, and also because it's just great for Carson Wentz to have one more person to throw the ball to, and I hope Reagor can stay healthy. Justin, are you a Reagor fan?
I am. I had him as my wide receiver one prior to the draft.
Wow.
And then, I felt pretty good about it. Now, yeah, I've moved him down a little bit, but I mean, I still think he's an extremely talented. I'm a Ragey Q follower.
Yep.
So I definitely jumped on the hype train.
Yeah.
You know, I just love the way that he talked about him. And I'm not a scout by any means, so I'll listen to people. And I mean, I just think that Reagor is going to be in the prime opportunity to actually make some waves in this once he's healthy. So hopefully when he comes back this week, I'm assuming that he's actually healthy.
Well, we do have a Class A scout here with us. How did you have Jalen Reagor in your professional style write-ups?
I had Reagor. He was probably, I think, my wide receiver 4 or 5. I like his skill set, but I think that you need to scheme things for him. He's one of those guys that is really fast. And if you can get him in space and let him use that speed, it's really nice. But in terms of being a team's like one with a bullet, I don't know.
We found the one with a bullet in Travis Fulgham. Let's just put it where it is.
That's true. I don't want to take anything away from him. But like my summation of Reagor with my film notes was, in order for Jalen Reagor to ascend to the top of the class, he needs to a team needs to commit draft capital, which they did, and they need to commit to scheming him touches because he's electric in space. And so kind of what you've seen San Francisco do with Ayuk, kind of like what you've seen a little bit in Jacksonville. And so I think with the depleted receiving core, you've got a good chance that Reagor is going to get schemed the ball and we're going to see what he can do.
Yeah, I was happy when the Eagles drafted him because I thought Peterson would be smart enough and creative enough to get him in space, and then that first week where he catches that 55-yard catch, and then, you know, he hasn't really played since then. The question is – sorry, Justin, were you going to say something?
You know, Peterson is a Andy Reid disciple, so, you know, I think that he's going to be able to move him around and, you know, get him off of jams because that's what he can't do. He can't work with pressure off the line. Like, he's got to be free – he's got to get free, clean breaks.
Fulgham on the outside, Reagor on the inside. Let's do it.
And I think one of the other things that I didn't like about Rager coming out is that sometimes he misreads the cushion. Mm-hmm. So, like, sometimes a defender will give him a lot of cushion because he's so fast, and he still tries to run by the corner, and that's not going to work in the NFL.
Right.
Where, like, if he would, you know, take that and turn and you know, run a comeback or something like that, and then use his speed, he's going to be deadly. But it's, again, it's part of that's just a matter of playing and learning, you know, the NFL coaching. And learning your, yeah, so.
Yeah.
Man, you guys remember Torrey Smith?
Yes.
When he was young, like, I remember thinking that exact same thing about him. You know, when Baltimore first drafted him, they just used him as a deep threat. I'm like, look, if they just put this guy on a slant or a quick comeback and let him do something, he would be amazing. And then it was Joe Flacco, so all he could do was throw the ball really far, so they never did that with him. But yeah, no, it's so weird how you're saying these things and I'm having, like, flashbacks.
Elite Joe, right?
Yeah. Every time, yep. He definitely made those Jets elite for those 2 weeks.
I was in the Baltimore airport when they won the Super Bowl.
That's...
It was insane.
Interesting. Wow.
That is, yeah.
I was in Westchester, Pennsylvania. That's where I was in college. That's where I went to college that year. That just happened to be where I was. And I was watching in the common room. That's the only, I weirdly remember that. Okay. But actually back to the actual conversation on hand, would you be willing to send a first right now for Rager if you're on a competing team?
If I'm a competing team, that means I got a late first. Yeah. Sure. 111, 112, 110, whatever. Sure. If I truly think I'm a competing team, I think he's got the profile to be a good receiver. I think his profile is as good as basically any receiver you're grabbing at the 110, 111, 112, any player, I guess.
So I'm not sure yet. Cause I haven't delved into, other than I know that this class is deep and I know a few names, cause I don't start doing my rookie scouting until, well, we're almost there, November. So we're almost there.
You can start on Waddle.
You might have to push him back now because they haven't played very many games.
Yeah, well, and that's the other part about this, and I've talked about this a couple of times. Like, I don't know how my evaluation process is going to look this year, because I usually will watch a couple of games early in their career, a couple of games the year before they come out, and then six to eight games of the year that they come out, and try to get between whatever eight to ten games. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that this year, because there are a whole bunch of guys that aren't going to have that film from this season, or aren't going to have much film from this season. And so that's going to be tough. But
answer the question, Zachariah.
I probably won't, just because I think that this next class is deep, and it's deep not just at receiver, but you've also got quarterbacks that are going to push players down. You've got those running backs that are going to push players down. So if I'm in the I don't know, 108 to 112 range, it's going to be getting receivers that would normally be going in the top half of the draft. And so
don't forget, like, if you're in a trade axe league with 175, there's a couple tight ends out there.
Yes, I was going to bring that up. But there's actually tight ends worth drafting this year.
Yeah. It's going to be a similar year to that Fant, Hockenson, Smith, you know, that tier player.
So rather than taking Rager, who I'm, like, hoping that Doug Peterson can figure out how to make him a one, I'm going to probably draft somebody that I think is going to come in and step in and be that profile.
So you're a little lukewarm on Rager, huh?
I mean, he's good. Like, again, he's good, but there are a lot of holes. To me, this class, I had CeeDee Lamb as the clear one. I had Justin Jefferson as the two. And then there was a lot of kind of flux. I think I had Jerry Jeudy as a three. I had Bryan Edwards as my four.
I was about to ask, was Rager a first-round pick for – like, if you picked the first 12 – players,
yeah, I mean, he
rookies,
would he have been
the top in the top 12?
Well, yeah, and I do my rankings non-Superflex, and so that changes things.
You haven't recorded with Kyle long enough that you need to start doing things in Superflex, and then he'll just have to adapt if he ever comes back.
Who plays non-Superflex anymore?
Kyle. Kyle LeBrec, his co-host, he hates Superflex.
I mean, it's just how it is. But yeah, so he would have been probably right at that turn. So like that Judy Edwards Rager, I think that was a bunch for me, like a group for me. And then
should have just passed on them all and drafted T. Higgins anyway.
Well, I would say then beyond that, you had Higgins, Pittman, and Ruggs for me that were kind of all right there. And guys that I liked, they have, one or two things that have a lot of, they have talent doing one or two things, a couple of traits that I love, but then there were some holes. And so that's kind of where I was at with those guys. But,
oh man, speaking of that tier, Denzel Mims coming back in, playing and leading the team in targets. That was exciting to see.
Crowder was out, but yeah.
Hey. There's no need for that.
Usurping Braxton Berrios is impressive, but
and Jeff Smith, yeah.
Hey,
your local grocery bagger.
Hey, that grocery bagger did really well that 1 week. More than I could say, I guess, for me playing in the NFL. So our last bit of news is Kenyon Drake tore a ligament in his ankle and is out for multiple weeks, which from his reaction is not as bad as it seems like it was going to be.
I thought his mother had died while he was on the sideline.
He was unhappy. Like I really thought it was, it looked like an Achilles or something the way he was acting.
Yeah.
Like
it was such a weird, did you see the comment from the Cardinals? They're like, he tore a ligament in his ankle. We're treating it like a sprain.
Just like, walk it off.
Okay, yeah, you're good. Throw a bag of peas on it. We'll be fine. Yeah.
That's their way of saying Chase Edmonds was doing better anyway. They're not gonna worry about it. And he really was. I mean, I haven't seen that many Cardinals games to know, but I feel like there hasn't been much separation between the two of them. And last night, it was last night, right? Yeah, today's Monday. Yesterday was. I have no idea anymore. I feel like I haven't slept. Chase Edmonds looked really good. Besides the fact of how bad Seattle's defense was.
I've been starting Edmonds for the last 5-6 weeks.
Right. And just to talk about it, because this is a trade show, I mean, you're not getting Chase Edmonds for less than a first right now, I don't think, at this point, especially coming off of 100-yard. And I don't think he scored. Did he score a touchdown? I can't even remember anymore. There were way too many damn touchdowns scored yesterday that I have no idea who scored them anymore, except for Tyler Lockett. So
he had all of them.
Yeah, right. Tyler Lockett. He even scored them for the Cardinals. So would you send a first for Chase Edmonds right now?
I don't think I could.
No, you have your team in Olympians where you have no nameable running backs.
Yeah, Chase Edmonds one of them.
Yeah, I was about to say on that team.
Well, and he's another player that I have on every roster that I have in leagues that I'm not in with Kyle, because Kyle was on Chase Edmonds also. Like that's one of those guys. Even if I'm not building a zero RB team, like a construct, I'm still drafting those running backs, which we call pass catcher plus.
Yeah.
So it's the guy who catches passes, but is big enough to be able to be a full-time back if somebody gets hurt. And so that's how I build my rosters.
Yeah. I was so anti Drake. I'm surprised I didn't own more Edmonds.
I just traded for Kenyon Drake by accident.
That was terrible.
On the flip side, are you selling Edmonds for a first? If a first comes through for Edmonds, are you selling?
If not on that roster specifically, like not on the one where I'm in first place and rolling, and he's a big part of it, but on rosters where if I'm in the middle of the pack, hell yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yep. So let's move on because we have other stuff to talk about. Let's get to the actual main event of our show. Our buys, trades, sells, but we start with make amends. And I would like to make amends for two people. And one of them is Devin Singletary. He might not be good. He did really well last year with the, you get fooled by efficiency, I guess it is, because he did really well last year when given the opportunity. And I don't know if it's the offensive line or just how different that offense, the Buffalo offense is this year. But like, it's not like Moss looks good. It's not like, well, T.J. Yeldon is T.J. Yeldon, so it would it would be a little shocking if he looked good. But like nothing in that running game looks good at all. So I don't know if it's Devin Singletary, but besides the fact I have been saying that he was worth a buy in the non-point scoring season, even the beginning of the season, because I felt like someone was going to run the ball. And then Moss got hurt because that's what Moss does. So, yeah, my bad. I can't sell that dude for a second at this point. So, And my other one is Rob Gronkowski. While it's not – Gronk's looking like mini Gronk. Like, he's not the – towering force he was, but he's still like Moss the guy. Like he gets his back corner touchdowns where he just goes over and rips the ball in front of the defender. Like he might be looking like Gronk again. And that I did not see that coming. I really just didn't think he would get back to this. So I think I'm pretty much wrong on that. Even if Antonio Brown comes in and actually plays football, I don't think it matters. I still just think Gronk may be a focal point of this offense and not Mike Evans ever again.
Oh man. Mike Evans is like assumed the Jordan Howard role on that team. Like he's like 2 targets, 2 yards, a touchdown. Like,
wow. What a backhanded compliment that was.
I don't know if that was a compliment.
Yeah, right. That's fair,
I missed so badly on him this year. Like Evans, I thought Evans was going to come in and be great with Brady because Brady's accurate. And I mean, Evans is nicked up, but I don't mean to take your svelte Gronk and move it to Evans, but
no, it's fine because I mean, I was worried in the beginning, but I was with you. I'm like, Brady is good enough to throw to good players and Mike Evans is a good player, except the problem is so is Chris Godwin.
Yeah.
And just. That's more
and
of the
Scotty
kind of,
Miller
and Scotty Miller. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
great.
Like I realized very quickly that Mike Evans was not going to be the guy and got out on the 2 shares I had left. And I'm very happy about it, but yeah. Okay. Let's get away from the Buccaneers because I just don't care. Brian's alter ego put down a make amends. What do you got?
Yeah. And I'm not going full on make amends here. Because I still Baker needs to prove a little bit more to me, but I did, I called him, names on the last podcast that I said that he was a bum. I said Landry had a bum hip and a bum for a quarterback. And
sorry, that's really funny.
Baker looked better. I mean, granted it was the Bengals. And so I'm not full on like ready to go back into the Baker fold, but you know, maybe he's better than Trubisky.
Oh man, I don't know if you guys listened to the Superflex Super Show, but they spent like a half hour at the end of their recent show just bashing on Baker. Yeah. And I co-own Trade Addict 7 team with Brian, where we recently traded for Baker, and Brian's like, it made me want to vomit. And I'm just like, yo, bro.
How did you get him to do that? Is what I want to know.
What he failed to mention was the first we got back was our pick, which is going to be the 101. Like we went full tank this year. So that's why we did it. We got rid of Aaron Rodgers and Dalvin Cook. Like that was our goal. And we got younger at quarterback. And I believe in Baker enough that I don't think he's getting replaced next year. And that's all I care about because we don't need to score points. We just need someone who's going to play. And we had Carson Wentz. We ended up trading him away, which we'll talk about later, but at that point, we were going to have Trevor Lawrence and Carson Wentz as our starting quarterback with Baker Mayfield as our third. And that's the scope that Brian just was maybe, I don't know, maybe what he just wasn't smart enough to see. He's not here, so I can say that.
Well, I didn't put one down, but I do have a make amends.
Go for it.
And Brian will be so happy to hear, but it's James Conner. I completely wrote him off after that Benny Snell game. I mean, I was like, man, he looks toast. Snell's out there killing it. And then he misses a game and he comes back and he's been on fire. I mean,
except for Snell vulturing him yesterday. One rush for 2 yards and a touchdown. He pulled to Mike Evans.
right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the little sniper out there. So, but I mean, honestly, I did not expect Connor to have the season that he's having so far, especially after he got banged up early in the season. It's kind of painful to know that I faded him everywhere. And now he's tearing people up. So
I mean, it's funny because my two redraft leagues are home leagues, and which means they're not as, I don't know, like, I feel we, like, what are we, plugged in? We're degenerates, whatever we are. And I'm like, no, I'm high on Connor for redraft. And then I get to home people who still think he's like a first round pick. And I'm like, oh, I guess I'm not high on Connor in redraft. That's what happened. Like, I thought I was going to get him in both of my redrafts, and he went way earlier than I was still willing to take him.
It's such a different world. You get so locked into like Twitter and podcasts and you know, people who are eating, breathing, sleeping fantasy football, and then all of a sudden you go in home league and you're like, oh, like this is different. And it's almost, to me, it's almost like playing poker against people who don't play poker. It's harder for me to play against people who don't play the game the way I do.
Right.
It's hard to read.
Because they're the ones that start like Russell Gage week one because they're dumb and don't know what they're doing, and then he catches three touchdowns. You're just like, what? But what? No, that was the wrong thing. That shouldn't have worked.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that's how Sipes felt against me in HQ one.
Yeah, stop winning, by the way.
Be like, you're drawing three cards for a gut shot straight? Like, what are you doing?
Look, I had 2-6. I thought I'd go for that, you know? They can connect. They can. I played when I was like 18, I played poker with my stepbrother, who's decently older than I am, and I did the exact same thing. I had like 2-4 suited. I'm like, all right, it's suited. I'm going to go play. And I got the flush, and this guy literally yelled at me. He's like, who the goes in on 2-4? You fold that every goddamn time. I'm like, well, clearly. Like, and of course I was never invited to come back again after that, but it was worth it just to see how angry this guy was. Like, cause yeah, so, luck is great sometimes. Luck, you know, better lucky than good. And it absolutely works in every game you'll ever play. Every once in a while, if you do stupid things enough, sooner or later, it's going to work out.
I mean, it's been my life motto.
Damn straight. Better lucky than good. Okay. So that is our make amends. Let's move to our trade aways. And since I didn't write anything down, we're going to go to Not Brian.
Not Brian has a couple. And the first one is inspired by your rant, venting the outhouse the other day.
I have another one of those I'm going to do this week, by the way.
And I know that a lot of people are still on Michael Thomas. I even saw the actual Brian talk about Michael Thomas and how he's still young and he's still like,
he's 27. He's almost old.
Yeah. I mean, that's prime receiver, but. I think that there is more going on in New Orleans than is getting out to us.
There has
and
to
it,
be.
It feels so much like the Antonio Brown. It feels so much like the Odell Beckham in New York. It has that stink to it where it's not just that he's been injured. There's more going on, and I don't like that. And I would much rather get out. I mean, you saw I traded Michael Thomas straight up for Justin Jefferson last week, which is probably value-wise not great.
Yeah, trade calculators would agree with your assessment.
But I think that I will look back in 3 years and be really happy that I have Justin Jefferson and not Michael Thomas. And I think that that transition is going to happen closer to now than the 3 years, you know, that I've set for a time frame. And so he's the guy that I'm getting out on. And the other one we kind of brushed by, but Zeke, with that Cowboys offense in turmoil right now, he's been a player that I've been trying to trade wherever I have him, even before this year. And now with this, I mean, he's not even a guy that's going to carry you as a contender, I don't think, because what are teams going to scheme for defensively now? I mean, it's not Ben DiNucci.
You don't know, man. He could be like, I'm trying to think of like what's a good example of a third string quarterback we've never heard of that all of a sudden became Tom Brady, because Tom Brady was still just a second string. John Kitna? No, he was still second string.
Dak is probably the closest.
He was at least still a third round pick. But real quick, let's start with Michael Thomas. I co-own a team in the one of those DLF Championship Cup Series things. We have a Dynasty Game Night team with me, Bosch, and Matt Price. And won the auction for Michael Thomas. And we've been doing really well without him. So, they're smart people. So they're like, we should just sit on him. You know, we're winning without him. So when he comes back, and I'm just like, and then Sunday morning in our inbox, we got an offer of Tyreek Hill for Michael Thomas straight up. And I'm just like, we should take this. And Matt's like, yeah, we should. And then of course, John disappears at that point. We're like, oh my God, this guy's going to figure it out. He's going to revoke. Oh my God, John, where are you? Like, okay, we can do it. And then we did. And I'm thrilled we did it. Cause honestly, I'm not super thrilled with Tyreek. He's been scary this season. Like he's been scoring points, but it's like he's been having 3 points until the fourth quarter and then he catches three catches for a touchdown and a touchdown. So it like bolsters his stats, but that's kind of always been.
Like he only needs that one play for, 40 yards.
But like the price of what he is, you want more security than that, I think is what it comes down to. I don't remember if it was rookie or sophomore year, I called him the fantasy prairie dog because his scoring was literally up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. It was like he just kept poking his head out. And back then I was really still making poop references all the time. So it fit perfectly. So I'm not super thrilled with Tyreek in general, but it's just
at least he's on
I wanted out on Michael Thomas, and honestly, I was thrilled to get that price.
Yeah, to me, Tyreek is not that far behind MT, Davante Adams, that tier, Hopkins, and at least he's on the field.
That's what it comes down to. In October, Superflex ADP, Tyreek Hill is wide receiver 3.
Right.
Yeah. Thomas 1, Adams 2, Tyreek 3.
Yeah,
but also, this was probably done 3 weeks ago, which is garbage at this point because we're a very weekly dynasty community, I guess.
Now he's like wide receiver 7 because you got CeeDee Lamb and DK. Yep. Of course, Hopkins is back up there. And, Jefferson
is wide receiver 4
now. So, right.
And sort of somehow George Kittle is wide receiver 2. I don't know. Just things just happen. And Zeke, I agree. Tomorrow morning, I am going to start sending out offers to get rid of Zeke on all of my teams. And honestly, I'm not going to do as bad of like the Michael Thomas offers I was offering, but I think I'm going to push very hard to get Zeke off my team because I was actually buying him pretty heavily in the non-point scoring season because he was, he just got his contract or he recently got a contract, which means he's old because he got his second contract.
Right.
And I'm like, no, he's still going to be very good. So I'm going to pay, 2.5 first instead of 3.5, which is what he should be, and ride him into the sunset. And I mean, my teams aren't doing bad, but I'm not getting Zeke that I want. So I think I am going to try and do that. I'm going to try and find, I've been gobbling up Adam Thielen at this point on all of my competing teams. So like a guy like that, plus a young guy, I think is going to be my go. Like I'm going to try and get one guy who I know is going to give me points every single week. Like maybe I'll go try and get Chris Carson plus, like DeAndre Swift is probably a bad example, but like a young running back who has the upside to maybe one day be 80% Zeke. So I think that's my goal. So I absolutely clearly 100% agree with both of these. Yeah. Anyone off the top of your head, Justin?
I'm trying to trade for DJ Chark.
For or away?
Oh, sorry, away. Sorry, wrong part of the section.
That's fine. We could just move on, and we can start talking about DJ Chark because I'm very curious to hear what you're going to say because I am in a league. It's a dynasty best ball, and someone sent me the offer of T. Higgins to give me T. Higgins for Chark and a second. And I'm just like, I feel like Chark should still be worth more than T. Higgins at this point. And then I stopped, unfortunately I hit reject. And then I stopped and I thought about it. I'm like, is he though? Like what? Like that offense, I don't know what it is, but they are spreading the ball around and I don't know what it's going to be. So tell me why you're going to, we're moving on to trade fours.
Yeah.
So tell me why you're going to trade for DJ Chark.
Because I think they're going to have a new quarterback next year. and I think we're going to see more volume from them going forward. I mean, whether it's – I don't know that they're as bad as the Jets, so it's probably not Trevor Lawrence. But I think it's Justin Fields probably. I mean, they're in that running for – you know, if the Giants get the number two pick, are they going Justin Fields, or are they just going to stick with Daniel Jones? You know, like we could have the Jaguars in the 3 or 4 spot and still with Fields on the board.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair. Man, I wish Brian was here because he started watching that show and he freaking loves it. So we've just been quoting to each other back and forth so much. I've been having this conversation a lot, and especially because, even further spoiler alert, I told you I traded away Carson Wentz. We got Daniel Jones back. And Brian and I were going back and forth, and we were talking to Bobby Koch because, heaven forbid, we have an episode of this show without talking about Bobby. he is pretty much on the train of Daniel Jones getting Rosened, and well, mostly he just wants Gettleman to get fired. But even still, Trey Lance is going to be there, and there's that, and I can't remember. There's one other. Is it the Alabama quarterback now who is doing really well that might start sneaking up into drafts? I can't remember. There's one other quarterback now that people are think he's going to start working his way up into the first round of the NFL draft. I haven't been paying good enough attention to remember who it is, though. So, Matt, I firmly believe that the Jaguars end up with a new quarterback next year.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Minshew's kind of being exposed. So well, I'm glad I got rid of him.
He's good, but the problem is that's not enough for a bad team.
Right.
So hopefully he goes somewhere else and we still get Minshew mania, because let's face it, it's fun.
To me, he's like a Chase Daniels. You know, he's that kind of quarterback, that level of quarterback.
Yeah, but
he's a solid backup who can play every once in a while, but is not. You don't want him on your team if you're trying to win.
The difference, though, is Minshew has got a sweet mustache. Chase Daniels has got the gif of him picking his nose and eating it. So advantage, okay. Minshew.
What? Fair. Minshew's way cooler than that. And you know, I live in Minshew's hometown, so it was fun having him on my roster. But, yeah. I mean, at this point, you kind of have to move on if you're Jacksonville for whatever option you get.
Okay, so you have – I guess we're going to say you're not a competing team because you're doing this for next year. What are you sending for DJ Chark right now? What are you hoping to get him for, and what do you think he should be worth?
I mean, I might have offered Ayuk for Chark earlier, to like 10 minutes before we came on air. Just saying.
Is that why Larry Monkey asked about it?
He might have been asking about a trade offer I sent him.
He did in fact ask for Chark or Ayuk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wish you guys would have answered Ayuk real quick just for me.
Oh yeah, totally Ayuk. Did that help? Did it work?
I haven't got an email with a trade notification, so I don't think he'll probably sit on that one till we record tomorrow.
And Larry loves his same position, same tier trade offer. It drives me nuts. No matter how many times I yell at him that I don't do that, he keeps sending them to me.
Yeah. He wants production. I don't know. I don't feel like I'm going to offer a late first because I feel like I'm going to get a better wide receiver, a better pedigree of wide receiver if I'm a rebuilder in this next draft. So if I'm a contender, he's not a player I'm trading for.
Well, yeah, that's why he asked on a rebuild, especially because you said that you think that's going to be a next year thing.
Right. It's an early second, I guess, and I'm not sure that anybody's selling for an early second, especially for what he did last year.
Yeah, I think I would need it to be an actual player as opposed to a pick for me to sell at that kind of valuation. And I just went to Twitter and on the GIF thing typed in Chase Daniels, and I don't see a GIF of him picking his nose and eating it.
Well, go to our DM.
Well, there.
It's sending. It's probably why I'm breaking up here on the feed, because I'm using the internet. Like, I'm in Maine, so like we only have like one internet channel. So like my phone is using that internet to send the Chase Daniels, and so it's breaking up on the feed. But
yeah, the entire state of Maine, only one person can stream at a time. So here it is.
That's it.
Picking it. Looking away, and right into the mouth.
Do it.
Yep, that happened. He waited to make sure that maybe no one's looking. Yep, then went right for it. I'm gonna watch it one more time. Pick. look around. Time is passing. Oh, into the mouth. Okay, now I'm going to stop looking because that's super gross.
Advantage Minshew, though. Yes, agreed.
Yep, there you go. Right away, Minshew over Chase Daniel just because of that. So my trade for is Kenny Golladay. We're going to move on real fast. And it's mostly because, and this isn't going to be like a cheap buy, but every game that Kenny Golladay's been healthy, he's gone like 5 or 6 for 115 and no touchdowns. So I think only coming away with like 16, 17 points every week, people might not think he's doing great. Like, we know he's doing good. We know he's good. But people might not be thinking that he's great. Like, if he just – the dude's like 8 feet tall. If he just falls forward for one touchdown, one game, hits 25 points, it's going to change people's perceptions of what his score should be. So I kind of want to go out and buy as much Kenny Golladay right now before that happens because – man, like J.J. Zacharyson talks all the time how yards really do correlate to touchdowns, in which case, man, Kenny G's up for some regression because he came back healthy that first game. He caught like 2 touchdowns, and I'm not even looking, but I don't know if he's caught one since. And he's awesome. And I tweeted out during the game yesterday, you might hate the nickname, but Babytron makes Megatron catches. Like, he makes some catches where he contorts and goes over a guy and like, you can't even say he mosses him. He Calvin Johnson's him. Like, he's straight, like huge dude. He has no business catching this ball. And it's just like, damn, yes, you're good at football. Good for you, buddy. So I am absolutely, man, would I send 2 firsts for Kenny Golladay right now? An early and a late? I think I'd do it. Gotta be honest. Like, so if I'm talking sending like Najee Harris and Ja'Marr Chase, I still think I do it. Even like putting those names to it made me pause for like a second. But to get Kenny Golladay this season for that price next year, I think I do it pretty easily. Even if I'm not competing, because I'm going to build around Kenny Golladay.
You're preaching to the choir on the Golladay, man.
Here we are, three of us all peas in a pod on this one.
I saw your tweet and I commented hashtag all the Golladay.
Yes.
And you go search that hashtag and that will go back to before he was drafted. Like I've been a Golladay guy and this is not a surprise. Like watching him and then pairing him with Stafford, who is a quarterback who will throw the ball up.
Yes.
You know, that's the other thing is Golladay is good. But he's so much better with a player like Stafford who will throw that D-gaff ball, who'll be like, okay, you're not open, but you create your separation vertically. Right. And there aren't a lot of quarterbacks right now in the NFL that will do that.
Yeah, no, like, I feel bad that my one example of the opposite is always Dak. Like, there has to be someone else, so I'm just going to make it sound like I don't like Dak. But Dak won't throw it to a guy who's covered.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, he needs that separation. He needs that timing route. Like, yep. That's why Dez kind of disappeared once Dak became quarterback. Like, they don't – like you're saying, Stafford is that guy because he had Calvin Johnson. And, like, you literally – oh, I'm going to throw the ball to Calvin. Calvin's over there. Let me just cover my eyes and throw the ball, and I'm sure he'll catch it. Like, that's all you had to do. And 60-70% of the time he catch that, and sometimes I was about to say take it for a touchdown, but knowing Calvin Johnson, he'll get tackled at the one. He loved that.
He had that one season. It was such, man, what a crazy season that was. 1800 something yards and 2 touchdowns or 5.
If I'm ever going to research something in football, it's how many times Calvin Johnson got tackled inside the 2. I'm not even talking inside the 5. Inside the 2, that man always seemed to catch the ball, take 3 steps, and fall down like this, and just come up that little bit short. He always got tackled right before the end zone, and it killed me.
He was Julio before it was cool.
Okay, see, and I'm a Julio guy, but Calvin Johnson scored a crap ton of touchdowns.
Comparatively, I mean, yes, yeah.
He had 4 seasons with double-digit touchdowns, with 12 or more. Like,
yeah, but it should have been 20 something or more.
He had the one season that was bad. He scored 8 or more in another couple. I mean, that guy was scoring touchdowns.
Yeah, he should have been removed from fantasy football because it just didn't seem fair to other people having him on his team. Great. Okay, Well, first of all, if you haven't noticed now, Zach has replaced the name Brian with many things. And this one says, hi, Brian. Miss you, buddy. So why don't you give us your trade for
So I had a question on this one, though. Is it a cop-out if I say right now I'm trading for 21 picks?
Not at all.
2020, because
we're talking about it a lot, and we're talking about the players a lot, and we're talking about the depth a lot, so it makes perfect sense.
But I think that right now, if you – especially if you're – I love to do this. I love to get in the standings in MFL, and then there's the button that says points. And so I'll go look at a team that's – high up in the standings, but has low points, and start looking for, you know, their first, and see if I can make a trade that potentially, you know, if things break right for me, I get a higher first because their team may not be they may be overperforming right now. In terms of the win column, but not overperforming in terms of the points putting up. And it's kind of like if I was in my home league right now, I would be doing that with my team. Like my team's in first place and I am maybe the seventh highest scoring team.
Wow.
Like I'd be looking at that team and saying, yeah, I want your first because you're not, and we're still early enough in the season. I mean, we're week seven. So there's still like five more weeks that are going to happen or six more weeks that are going to happen before you're in the playoffs. People are still in it, you know, and thinking they're in it and will make that trade. Like I'm going for it, but man, you can, and especially we've talked about the depth of the class. We've talked about guys getting pushed down because quarterbacks are going to go high because running backs are going to go high. You're going to see Etienne and Harris and that ilk. And so that's something I'm going after. And the other thing I had written down was Aquabanam because I wanted to say Aquabanam.
With Fant out, he was doing pretty well.
Yeah.
With Fant's back.
Yeah, that's all right. I still like him as a see, tight ends are those are the guys that you keep an eye on. You wait a couple weeks when Fant's back, and then you'll make that trade because you're not looking for him to produce this year. You're not looking for him to produce next year, but in 3 years, yeah, that's not a bad stash. If you have him on your bench, I've done that with a bunch of guys. So yeah, athletic tight ends.
Tight ends are my like fourth and fifth round targets.
Yes. Yeah.
They're the ones that develop late and somehow get shot or whatever. I still
have many Thaddeus Moss shares on my taxi squads and Kahale Waring and, hey, Jonnu Smith paid off. It took a while, but
yeah. I'm still resting on the Kittle laurels, and it wasn't even my analysis. It was Kyle with the cheat sheet, which he hasn't done in a couple years. But like when he was rolling that out, he hit tight ends like I've never seen.
Yeah.
So now I have to start tracking his tight end.
You should DM him like every other day and just be like, hey, you going to do a cheat sheet this year? Hey, and see if you can get them going.
I'll do that tomorrow morning. Like, hey, I heard this thing called the cheat sheet you used to do. Maybe you should get doing that again. All right, so let's wrap up our keep trades buys and talk about our keeps. And boy, sure wish Brian was here instead of this dummy. put down Philip Lindsay and Nick Chubb. So why don't you talk about those guys?
Yeah, so Lindsay is a player that I think has the potential to be that Tim Hightower league winner at the end of your year. Melvin Gordon off injured, not great this year carrying the ball. Lindsay, even this past week, was better in his touches than Melvin Gordon was. And headed toward the end of the season, that's a player that I want on my roster just in case, because if he happened to take over that backfield, if there was an injury or if Melvin Gordon just fell out of favor, that's Lindsay is a player that, man, he can roll up points in a hurry. We've seen him do it, you know, the year before, and he's a hold too, because I don't think you can get enough for him right now to make it worth your while trading him. And the other guy was Nick Chubb, and obviously Nick Chubb's been injured. He's still out. When he comes back, I want him on my team for this year, but for next year also. He is the type of player. I mean, you mentioned earlier Adrian Peterson, and you said, you know, Adrian Peterson would never have another year like he did his rookie year. And Adrian Peterson is the type of runner where he might get 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 carries and they go for 2 yards. And then he gets that carry in the third quarter that goes for 60 and a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what Nick Chubb does. He's just got that explosion. He's got that ability to house one. And he's not a player that you necessarily think of as he's not a burner. He's not, you know, one of those guys that you think of as being electric, but man, does he wear down a defense? And then when he gets a hole, he's gone. And so those are two guys that I want, Lindsay more for this year, but both of them, you know, Chubb for beyond.
Yeah, I took advantage of someone fire selling, and I got mm-hmm. Philip Lindsay for Anthony McFarland and a 22-3rd on yesterday.
Yeah, is Anthony McFarland going to be anything? I don't know. No. I'm not. Yeah,
no. Right. What's really funny was it started out. I got a really bad offer for Aaron Jones, and I was just like, no, thanks. that's bad. And he replies, he's like, look, by the end of next week, I want these guys off of my team. So just send me something. So I'm like, fine. Anthony McFarland he's like high or low. I'm sending them. So I'm like, all right, let's see how low we can go. So I sent to Anthony McFarland for Philip Lindsay. And then he countered with my two picks in Trade Addict 6 are a 21-5th and 22-3rd. And he asked for my 22-3rd. So now all I have is 22-3rd.
You're drop the tight end. You're good.
Right. I'm gonna get the next Thad Moss. Let's do it. Yeah. So clearly I agree with both of yours. I think they're perfect. I've been calling Philip Lindsay a great stash since before the season started because Melvin Gordon, not only does he get hurt, but he always gets hurt at the end of the year. He ends up with an ankle injury in week 13, like a lot. So I completely agree on that Philip Lindsay. And Nick Chubb was always one of my favorite running backs when he came in. And just like, man, like if that guy never got hurt, like he would be Saquon Barkley. Like he would be that level of player. But man, he messed up his knee pretty bad and still came back to what he is now. So I completely agree.
That happened on my wedding day.
No, like, damn. That's your fault then. Okay.
Georgia fan. I'm a Georgia fan. And an hour before I got married, we're in the room. We're in like, so my wife is Catholic, so we got married in a Catholic church and we could have a keg in there, which was nice. So we have a keg that because I'm a bartender, one of my beer vendors donated a couple of kegs to me. So we're just drinking beer and hanging out. And one of my buddies goes, oh! And I was like, what's going on? You know, like I'm getting married. Something's crazy going on. He's like, Nick Chubb. And I was like, no,
honey, we got to postpone.
He's just emotional status
standing at the altar, just tears streaming down your face, and everyone's like, oh, that's so sweet. Emotionally like,
oh man, so I'll never forget Nick Chubb tearing up his knee.
You will,
and then me going there to take pictures prior to the ceremony or whatever.
Okay, so my keep is Josh Allen. I still think he's gonna be fine. He was playing out of his mind at the beginning of this season. Let's call it what it is. I don't know if we should have ever expected him to keep that up, but I would not be panicking right now with his. Yeah, he had, we'll call it a less than stellar game this week. it's just weird that he had no touchdowns, but against, they play the Jets, right? Is that what that was?
What I was going to say, but it was against the Jets.
Their D-line played pretty well this game. I don't know if it was just, again, maybe the Bills' offensive line is not great as it used to be. Maybe, I don't know, to be fair, but to be fair, man, I say that a lot. but I am not panicking on Josh Allen. I think selling him now is making it seem, if the price you'll get for Josh Allen now is going to be lower than it would have been 2 weeks ago, in which case you're selling him like he doesn't have a ceiling anymore. And we've seen he has a ceiling. So I'll wait for the funk to end and start getting points again.
And,
go ahead.
Well, I don't know.
No, Zach, go. You have your hands in the air like you're about to be animated.
No, go for it. I was just, no, like quarterbacks. I've been kind of toying with this idea of micro markets and playing the mini fluctuations, and because everyone's so plugged in now, the crowd changes very quickly and overcorrects. So like Josh Allen at the beginning of the season was like what, quarterback 8, and then all of a sudden he had 2 good weeks and he was like quarterback 3, mm-hmm. and now he has a bad week and he's like quarterback 11. And like, but quarterbacks in general, the fluctuation with them, I just can't even fathom. It's amazing. All of a sudden, you know,
now Justin Herbert is apparently like a top 7 or 8 quarterback.
He's one of the 37 top 5 quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yes. No, but he's the next Patrick Mahomes. Man, like I haven't been able to make fun of Brian like to his face for that enough. Like, he keeps missing shows after he tweets something like that out. And I know he wasn't 100% serious or anything, but he's in on Herbert. And I think we talked about it, and I think he did have him around QB8 at this point. And he's playing it. I don't know if it's, again, this might just be Herbert like, I'm starting in the NFL, woo! And then he'll fall back to earth. But like he's playing like it right now.
Yeah, and, you know, we can go off on a tangent from Josh Allen, but I've got Herbert on a team that I'm completely – like I punted the startup and got a bunch of 21 picks and took a bunch of rookies and it was an option. And I've got Herbert, and I'm really tempted to sell him for a nice profit.
You should still be able to.
I mean, I just – it's a 14-team super flex, so quarterbacks are so valuable that I don't want to just give away a quarterback. But at the same time, I mean, I don't know if his value ever gets higher than what it is right now. You know,
see the thing though with Herbert, and the question I had with him coming in was whether or not he was going to be accurate down the field. So he was really good managing a game. He was really good short. He was really erratic deep. Like he had a cannon. Mm-hmm. I said piss missile, but it's a cannon, whatever. But like
professional scouting, baby.
That's it. That's it. Wow. So I like my write ups. I paid whatever $100,000 for a creative writing degree. I got to use it somewhere, and it can't just be on songs. So I gotta you know liven those up. It's like my Ashton Doolin write up was Ashton Doolin is Bigfoot. You know, you hear rumors, but you never see anything. But yeah. So like Herbert, like I'm watching him. Like he's very mobile. I wouldn't call him fast, but he's got that like Josh Allen mobility where it's sneaky.
Big dude too.
Yeah, he's big. He has a cannon and can game manage, and so now all of a sudden you're seeing him game manage until there's a shot downfield, and all of a sudden he hits Guyton for a 70-yard touchdown. And
then teases me one game with Mike Williams, and then just throws one catch for 4 yards after that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't help you there. Mike Williams is a big, big Clemson receiver.
Wow.
Yeah, give me Hunter Renfrow all day, the big Clemson receiver. But
I didn't say team little Clemson wide receiver, did I?
But
like, I'm really like Justin Ross comes out.
That was the so I in the DFPN DM the other day. So the first game that he came in when Herbert came in, I said to Riley Bymaster, Riley, you were right on Herbert. And he's like, nah, I don't know. And I'm like, no, like this is real. Like this was not just, he was doing the things that I didn't think he could do. Like all of the little stuff, all the game manager stuff and the mobility stuff. I'm like, yeah, he can do that. But he wasn't making NFL throws down the middle of the field in college. And you need to be able to do that. And he's doing that. So I'd have to look at and actually seriously do a ranking because I don't do that. I just sing. But he's got to be, I mean, like, I don't think Har's that crazy.
It's pretty impressive what he's doing. That's for sure. And he's done it against, I mean, he did it against the Chiefs. He did it against the Saints.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to talk about Jacksonville, but. Still, I mean, it's not like he's playing the Jets and whatnot every week.
And I think that that archetype of quarterback where he's mobile enough to move the pocket, he's dangerous enough with his legs that you have to pay attention to him, because if you don't, he can run for a first and you know, get chunk yards that way, but also mobile enough to keep plays alive and get the ball downfield and smart enough to check down. Like, those are all the things that I'm looking for in quarterbacks now.
And what's funny is none of us thought of him as a running quarterback before the Rose Bowl. And then he runs those two touchdowns, looks, you know, has that one, you know, scamper down the right side and looks nifty. And we're like, wait, where did this come from? You know, so now he's that guy that can run, and he's been able to keep on, you know, continue with it. But he was always the pocket statue in everybody's mind before the Rose Bowl, which is just great.
So before we get into the Trade Addicts trades, I put out on Twitter looking for questions or who has some buys or sells. And of course, O'Shea gets back to us because he's awesome. And I love him because he runs the Trade Addicts Twitter account, because I can't barely run my own. So I'm not going to can't run more than one. So his buys were Jonathan Taylor, Harrison Bryant, Leonard Fournette. He put Herbert and in parentheses buy high. And 2021 picks. So there you go. He agrees with you, 21 picks. Yeah. So it's not a cop-out. Yes, I agree with some of those. Jonathan Taylor, absolutely. Like, I'm kind of thrilled he's not going nuts because he's still awesome. And that team is just in a weird place because of Phillip Rivers, I think. So I'm all about buying Jonathan Taylor right now. Is Harrison Bryant going to be a thing if Austin Hooper comes back next week? No, right? Like,
No way.
Yeah, so I don't know if I, like, maybe if you can get him, you can't get him cheap now. That's the problem. That's what I was trying to say out loud. Like, you can't buy him cheap after catching two touchdowns, but I'm not spending a second on Harrison Bryant, even in the Trade Addicts leagues that are 175.
Yeah, wait 6 weeks and get him for a third, yes, or a late third, early fourth kind of thing. Like, there is absolutely no reason to buy him right now, yeah, coming off of a game like he just had.
Leonard Fournette, I can't get. It's too inconsistent. I can't get behind buying him right now. And Herbert in the picks we did, we talked about already. His sells, he actually has Baker Mayfield as his sell. And I get it. If you're out on Baker Mayfield, now is absolutely the time you sell after he just looked very good. But screw you, Jerry. Baker's awesome. So his buy was Fournette, and one of his sells is Rojo.
I'm the opposite.
I'm neither on either of them. Like, I kind of just, like, someone else can deal with it. Unfortunately, I traded for Fournette in Trade Addicts 1, that one where I said where I'm 5-1, even though I have like 8 total points on the season. And I traded, I got Fournette really cheap, so I bought him just to try and score some points, and now I'm bitter because he just doesn't really do that whenever I play him. But, I mean, Rojo's doing well, but I really do think that was because Fournette's out. I think they're going to find their way back to the middle and just I almost said carnivore each other, and that is not the right phrase. Cannibalize each other's fantasy points, and I just don't think either of them are going to be all that worth it. And his last person to sell is Gardner Minshew, which I am all on board because unless you're competing this year, I don't think he's going to be the quarterback there next year. Or, well, he'll be there, just he won't be the starting quarterback next year.
Yeah, but at this point, it might be too late to sell him for anything more than a second.
That's what I was going to say. Like, maybe you have to do like Minshew and something else to upgrade a quarterback, right? Yeah. Like maybe you're not going to be able to do Minshew for something because you won't get the value out of it. But if you find a guy who needs depth for his, you know, his championship run, maybe you can do Minshew and something for a first, or Minshew and something else for
Drew Lock.
I was about to say Derek Carr, actually.
Derek Carr than Drew Lock, that's for sure. So
here's the play, though. You call Jerry Jones, say, I got Minshew on my dynasty team. I'll trade him to you.
You mad? Like, real football makes absolutely no sense to me in how they do their trades or anything like that. But, like, man, how that.
Yeah,
I want that now. I want that. Imagine a guy like Minshew being on the freaking Dallas Cowboys.
No, Fitzpatrick. We need Fitzpatrick with the Cowboys.
Well, they're not going to, because let's face it, Tua hasn't taken NFL snaps. Let's just face it. He those two didn't count. So, like, they're not going to jump in with a rookie quarterback and not have a backup quarterback.
I know, but who cares what the Dolphins are doing? We need Fitzpatrick.
Dolphin for Fitzpatrick. Oh, man. For those wide receivers, it would be freaking amazing. We're hitting an hour and a half somehow. This show freaking flies every single time. Every single day, every single Monday, I'm like, man, I hope we could do 45 minutes. I feel like we have nothing on the show sheet. And then now we end up hitting an hour and 45. So Trade Addicts Leagues are 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium, 1.75 points per tight end reception with 0.05 points for return yardage because we do not have Trade Addicts 1 trades. I mean, we probably did. There was a lot of like two-thirds for a guy kind of trades this week, and I just didn't bother putting them in because there's nothing to really talk about. This first one, though, Trade Addicts 5. Now, I feel like we need to put a little perspective on some of these trades because, you know, hashtag context matters. Even though that's not always what we try to do, we try and use it to talk about actual value of players. But the team that won the championship last year is in contention again this year. He traded Cortland Sutton and his 22 first for Chase Claypool.
Did he do that before this weekend? I'm assuming.
Yeah. All these trades happened before Sunday.
Yeah, it's still.
I would trade either of those for Chase Claypool and still not feel good about it. Right. I was super shocked to see that come across my screen. But he's happy. I mean, I didn't get an email. I didn't get a DM like, yo, I didn't mean to do that. I meant to hit one. Like that didn't happen. So as long as he's happy. And if I was a Claypool owner, I may have broken a bone in my thumb smashing that one.
Right. Exactly. Like I'm going to need to call the screen repair guy and get my phone fixed.
Yeah. That was super strange. But it also in TEA5, I sold DJ Chark. Brian, I think, hates trading with me, I think is really what it comes down to. I make the joke that he hates me and he takes it personally, so I feel bad about it, because clearly I know he doesn't, but you know, Brian is such a super nice frickin' guy that he's worried I actually mean it a little bit, and it freaks him out. So now I'm just going to say Brian hates trading with me because he wouldn't give me Justin Herbert for Saquon Barkley. But this is Trade Addicts 5, where my team should be great, but it's eh. So... And my only my only tight end was Zach Ertz. So I traded DJ Chark and Allen Robinson for Travis Kelce. Now, this felt much better before Kelce went like 3 for 30 this week. But tell me what you think about that. Like, I'm very curious. So, Justin, let's start with you because you're talking about buying DJ Chark. What do you think about the value of this trade?
I still believe in Kelce, but man, that's two young receivers. And I still like to build my teams around receivers regardless. And I think that this is if you're selling DJ Chark, you're selling low. And that's what I felt like you've done here.
Absolutely 100%, by the way. Yes. Yeah. I absolutely sold DJ Chark and I sold him low. But I knew Allen Robinson needed to be involved to get Brian to do it because, you know, hashtag.
And I'm really shocked that you sold Allen Robinson.
Right. It was a little bit of desperation.
I trade like 2-3 weeks ago, and I was shocked. Like somebody had hacked your account, and then you know, done your voice and made some trades.
To be fair, see, man, that's like the sixth time this show. That was in the Dynasty Diagnostic League where I had six wide receivers in my lineup, and Allen Robinson was the worst of them. So that is the only reason I sold Allen Robinson in that league because I didn't have a running back to start. Because of Derrick Henry and all of that stuff that the Titans were doing in the beginning of the year. So, yes, I traded Allen Robinson, and I can't remember who I got. I got Melvin Gordon and someone else. But, yes, everyone, like, right away, three people, and Justin was the first one, was like, yeah, Russ, blink twice if you're okay, or let us know that someone hacked your account and traded away Allen Robinson. But, yeah, this one, again, it was really just because it was Brian. It was because my team is not great, and with a 1.75 tight end premium, Kelce is a top three fantasy scorer. So that was really what I was doing, and I knew Brian, I think in this league, took Kelce in the first. Like, Brian absolutely believes in these leagues you need that stud tight end, so I knew he wasn't going to let go of him easy. So I was absolutely pulling at heartstrings, offering him Allen Robinson.
Yeah, this is the weirdest, like, trade combo for you who doesn't like tight ends. Brian, who loves tight ends, who loves Allen Robinson, I'm really shocked the deal went through at all.
Like, I'm glad I can keep you after all. After all this time, I can still keep you on your toes.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, this is throwing me off. Eric, what do you think, man?
I said I like the Chark and A-Rob side barely, over the other side. But if, and I didn't know the context of your team, but I said, if I am in a playoff hunt, if I'm a legit contender, then it's Kelce easily in this format. Just because you can consolidate and get that one player who's putting up big points instead of having the two receivers. But I don't know, if we're in a vacuum.
Yeah, I was about to say that dangerous phrase. Like, yeah, somewhere like always, Nero's spidey senses went off and he's yelling that someone used the phrase in a vacuum.
Yeah, right. That it's Chark and A-Rob for me. But just a little.
That is good enough for me because, like you said, for me to get it, you should pay up for studs. Like, you absolutely should. And not to diminish A-Rob at all, I think he is one as well. But Kelce's the stud of this trade. So I was absolutely willing to overpay to get Kelce, especially because I was minorly desperate because I literally didn't have a tight end to start. I forgot who my other guys were, but I hope they're on a team. Let's put it that way. That's the level of non-depth I had. So I was absolutely willing to overpay, and I knew Allen Robinson would help get it done. And his, I don't remember if his team is bad or if it was just like a retooling more than rebuilding, but I knew Chark being a very young, good wide receiver would push it over the edge and have it done. Like, there was no counter offer. That was my original offer to him.
Yep.
Okay, so we can move on from that. Trade Addict 6. Oh, yeah, this is for Nick Chubb. Damian Harris, Ronald Jones, and Deebo Samuel for Nick Chubb and a 22 third.
The only pause that I have in this entire trade is Deebo. Like, that's the only thing. Like, it's Nick Chubb for me, like, hands down. The only thing that gives me pause is Deebo.
So you're a Deebo guy, even though you wouldn't have taken Deebo from me in Olympians to give me my first back?
I do like Deebo, not for the 101, you know, 101, 102, but yeah, he's the one piece in here that I'm like, oh, it's Deebo. Or like Ronald Jones, I'm like, yeah, it's Rojo. Like, I understand he had 100-yard games when Fournette was out. As soon as Fournette was back, Fournette was taking all of the passing work and half of the carries. Like, this is what it is.
Yeah.
What about you, Justin?
Chubb, not even close for me.
Yeah.
I just don't care about Damian Harris. I don't think there's anything special.
I'm a Pats fan, and I don't care about him.
So, all right. So that part of the trade, I'm just going to ignore. So it's Rojo and Deebo for Chubb is how I feel about it. And
you want to hear the crazy thing? I think this may have been J. Mike trading away Rojo.
Really? I've worn him down.
I can't remember. I don't want to.
I've worn him down.
Yeah, right? Like, I think.
I kind of
feel
if
that's the case, I'm glad I edited out silences so I don't have to sit here trying to ramble. J. Mike traded away Ronald Jones to get Nick Chubb. Which, I mean, don't get me wrong, we're both on the Nick Chubb.
Maybe I'm proud of him. That's a. Yeah, I like that. J. Mike, you've done good.
I'm surprised he's not in the chat this week. Is Deebo ever going to be the guy that gets even 100 targets in a season?
No.
Right. But he's like 100 touches.
Yeah, I mean, right. that's the thing with him is he's the. I mean, and that's going to be the issue with Chenault too. They're very similar. Yes. Where you're going to have to manufacture them touches close to the line of scrimmage. You're going to have to hope that he bullies his way into the end zone. Like, again, I don't think Deebo is a wide receiver one, but he's a guy that you can throw in as like your wide receiver three or four or a flex. And like it because you know he's going to get touches and he's always got a chance to score a touchdown.
Okay. Yeah. And he did the trade just to add more context to it. He did the trade with John Hogue and Hogue is in one of those positions where his points four is better than what his record shows.
Mm.
So he wants to get those points in the stat sheet now. So that's why he
he traded for Ronald Jones?
Ronald Jones and Deebo Samuel. Come on, man. Nah, well, he doesn't care. He cares. Right. He cares less about running backs than like all of us put together. It's fun because I finally found someone who cares less about running backs than I do.
Please, you're trading for Derrick Henry and Zeke in the offseason.
I know. How did that work out for me so far? I know. Like I purposely did that though. I pushed myself out of my comfort zone in paying for tight ends and running backs, and I'm never going to do it again. Short of, you know, when I'm actually making a push for stuff. Right. But yeah, no, non-point scoring season, I'm never buying another running back.
Short of giving up Allen Robinson for Kelce. Yeah, right.
Hey, man, I'll take it. Shut up. So this last one is the Trade Addict 7 trade that I've been alluding to a couple of times. This is the team where Brian wanted to vomit over my co-managing, and our team is god-awful. We have the worst schedule with the least amount of points, so we are going to get the one-on-one, and we got approached by a team who won the league last year and is still doing very, very well. He's in first or second place. He sent us Daniel Jones. Well, his original offer was Daniel Jones and Miles Sanders for Carson Wentz and Stefon Diggs. And Brian's like, take that. I'm like, nah. So I got him to throw in 2/3 just because screw that. I'm not taking a first offer if I don't have to. And one of them is early. So the trade offer is Wentz, and the trade is officially Wentz and Diggs for Daniel Jones, Miles Sanders, and 2/3. Here's the funniest part. Like I said, we're pretty much tanking. We did the trade on Saturday, and I forgot to put Daniel Jones in the starting lineup on Wednesday, and I forgot to put Daniel Jones in for the Thursday game. So we didn't score those points of him running for the 80 yards and falling down. So we lost even worse because, you know, I forgot that when you trade people, they don't automatically go into your lineup because why shouldn't they, right? They should know I want to start that guy. So Justin, how do you feel about Wentz and Diggs for Daniel Jones, Miles Sanders, and 2/3?
I hate Daniel Jones, so I'm out. I'm completely out. Like, I think Daniel Jones is not good and won't be a quarterback in the NFL in 2 years. So you're going to need another spike in value like he got last year, and I don't think it happens. So, yeah, I still believe in Carson Wentz.
Oh, this is a Carson Wentz podcast. Like, we are absolutely right. Yeah. The reason look who came up. Look who else came to us in this trade, a Penn State guy.
Right, yeah. And because I still think that Diggs is going to be good for a few years.
Yes, you know? Absolutely.
And so what are you expecting to get, 3 or 4 years out of Miles Sanders? I'm expecting to get 3 or 4 years out of Stephon Diggs at the same time. So
yeah, but I think you'll probably get better production out of Miles Sanders than you will out of Diggs.
Are we assuming that Philadelphia fixes that offensive line?
Crossing my freaking fingers.
Yeah. Well, how many first-round picks do they have? Because they need 5 first-round draft picks for offensive line.
They'll probably sell Wentz for 5 picks so they could fix their offensive line.
Yeah, right.
How about you?
Yeah, I'm on the...
Since he just hates my side of the trade, we're going to stop talking to him.
Well, so look, I'm on the Wentz and Diggs side as well. Yeah. But in your... So, again, context matters. Because if you're trying to actively lose games... If you're trying to get down to the bottom of the pack so you can make this be, Miles Sanders and whatever your first becomes for a quarterback, like, I get that. It's not as, I don't want to say bad, but it's not as bad.
No, that's fine. Absolutely. I think we lost on the value of this trade.
Yeah. Well, and
I will say that. Like Justin said, purely based on the quarterbacks themselves, yeah. There is a chance Daniel Jones gets Rosened. I don't think it's going to happen. I that's really what I'm resting on because I think
it's more like he gets Trubisky'd, where he plays 3 seasons and then they realize he's not good.
Well, that's fine. That still gives us one more. That's all I really need because like next year Saquon's going to come back and that offense is going to be somewhat better again. Like this is this bad because Saquon's not there. Yeah. Which, yes, that does lend to the fact that maybe Daniel Jones wasn't as good as he played last year. Absolutely. But does it matter? It's like how everyone was freaking out with Dak when Zeke wasn't there. Like,
but see, Daniel Jones wasn't good last year. He had 4 good games. Otherwise, he was garbage. I mean, I don't know.
You know, he had a safe enough floor. He didn't often break that floor. He did not like his vertical was like 3.5 inches. Like that's how often he got off the floor. But like he was safe enough because he rushed for 80 yards and fell down. Seriously, the gist and memes that came off of that were just phenomenal.
But that guy was moving so damn fast. He was moving so fast he didn't know he could move that fast.
He was moving so fast his hips literally gave out on him. Like that's exactly what happened. Like I felt that as he was doing it. Like he was going and then his hips wobbled and there was no recovering.
I will cut him some slack because he was rolling.
Yeah.
And he just didn't his body didn't know what the heck it was supposed to do. Like we're 75 yards into this and I've got to quit.
Yep, nope, done. Yeah. You hit your limit.
I can cut him some slack. There's zero chance that I could make it 80 yards.
It's funny, like Matt Price put out a tweet and it was like, how far would you get before DK Metcalf caught up to you? And I'm like, is there a negative option? Because his first thing was 5 yards. And I'm like, I don't think anybody's making it 5 yards. I don't care how far away DK is.
Just take the touchback. Now I get 20. Yeah. We're all good.
Mine was zero, because if I did actually intercept the ball, I would instantly go with fetal position or covering the ball up. Like, no. Okay, so now that we are done just demolishing yet another Trade Addict 7 trade that I made, even though Brian pretty much told me to make this one, we're going to end this freaking show because screw you guys. I'm awesome at this game.
Outhouse is taking his ball and going home.
Damn straight. And also because, we've hit an hour and 40 minutes. I don't know how the hell we do that every single time. I hope people still listen to this freaking show, even though it's this long.
I do. It's on auto download.
Yeah.
You can listen to it even though you're on it. Do you listen to yourself?
Usually don't, because I've stopped. I get enough of me talking when I'm just living my life. I'm like, man, that guy's an idiot. And I'm like, wait, that's me. Mm. So, yeah.
Okay. So as we now say goodbye, let us actually take the moment to both of you tell everyone who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do. Justin, go first, because Zach introduced himself first.
That's because he likes the stage, and that's okay. No, actually, he's better on the stage than I am, clearly. I'm Justin at RunDFF, and you can find me on the Dynasty Hot Sauce podcast with my co-host Larry Monkey, and on the Twitter machine, where I just like to troll people every once in a while and talk about, obviously, good stats and stuff. So,
Zacharias, you're up.
Well, you know me. I am Zach Reed at Tacit Assassin 13, the lesser half of the Dynasty Dummies. You really should be following Kyle at Caleb Breck, although you probably want to follow him after November 3rd. Yes. He'll be a lot better follow after that, I think. I mean, that's pretty, you find me at the DFPN network, the only at work in town featuring Russ Dynasty Outhouse venting his outhouse. And I still, like, the next time I'm on here, Har better be here.
Nope. I am never putting you two in the same stream yard.
I've never seen the two of us in the same room. I'm still not convinced. I tweeted this out that I may be the mild mannered reporter, and then Har is like super Har, because you don't see us in the same room. I need to get on a pod with Har. Maybe I'll just bring him on the Dummies. Maybe it'll be me and Har. You know, hey. You ditched me a couple times. Maybe I'll do that. I'm going to DM him right now.
If you can get Har on another podcast, that'd be impressive.
Now I'm just not releasing. He has another podcast.
That's okay. He's got like 17. So
I'm just not releasing this episode now because Zach just said that. Well, what do I do now? Why was it bad? Yeah, this is bad. Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod, where you can hang with us in the chat. We had Larry Monkey and Jerry in here for a while, and hopefully Larry Monkey hung around long enough for us to say, go take Ayuk. so Justin could get his DJ Shark share. You also can get part of the Cool Kids Club, which is our group me chat, which is Liddy City, as J Mike says, and that means it has to be cool because J Mike is saying it. What else do we do? We have ffpodshirts.storenv.com, where you can buy t-shirts, stickers, and mugs for all of your favorite podcasts, because everyone's too lazy to make their own stuff, and I just do it for them, because why the hell not? And every penny, I should say, from those sales goes to charity. We have, for the rest of this week, we have all of the money being donated to Operation Underground Railroad, which is a charity to fight human trafficking, because human trafficking is bad and we should try and stop that. We still do have the James the Brain collection of the Brainiac stuff, where any and all money from that will go straight to the Gatulas family. We also, sort of unrelated, have our awesome wristbands, which I never take off, and Brian probably isn't wearing right now. Neon green, navy blue. $5 per wristband. $2 of every wristband will also get donated to Operation Underground Railroad. Our next charity is going to be much easier to say because that's two in a row that I couldn't get. So just DM at Brian Haar FF because I don't want to go to a post office. So I'm going to make him go do it. Plus the wristbands were his idea. And on that note, good night, fellas.
Night, Outhouse.
Good night, man.
Night, Zach.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast. Please remember to follow our host at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Haar FF. Follow the pod at Trade Addict Pod. Please review, subscribe, and rate the podcast. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.